Okay, today is the 21st of June, 2018, Thursday class. Let us now compose our mind, develop the Saddha, then the Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the Puja chanting. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. And let us turn to page 1. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majjhapamadatana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Matena Cha Hotu Mokang Pupang Malayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bawang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang panika pitang anukampang upadaya ปาติกันหาตุมุตเตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเตมัง We will now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration, by the power of all these merits, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujya. Badang Pujyemi. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will have half an hour of meditation. We will off the light. Oh, never mind. Let them come in later. They can join us in the meditation. Okay, since everybody has been here before, so you just relax body and mind, silent everything, then develop your meditation. The purpose of meditation is very important. Why do you meditate? And your understanding of meditation. When you understand, you will understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. So understanding got two parts. You need to train your mind, you train. You already trained, the spiritual faculties are already there, the mental hindrance no more, then you just straight away go into the meditation. It's just as simple as that. Then after that, you only need to stabilize your mindfulness. Your mindfulness, you still need an object of meditation to anchor it because it's not stable. then you use your object of meditation, whether it's anapanasati, chanting, rising or falling, or whatever skillful means, you use it. You develop it until the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful and very still, until the mind enters the deep. But the key is relax, silent, just aware, no need to do anything. Then let everything settle down. Whatever mental activity, sankhara, thinking or whatever, it will settle down. Because the original state of mind, before the movement, the stirring, before the mundane mind arises, is already that nature, which is stillness, which is the silent mind. So no need to do anything, just relax, aware. Then the awareness will be aware of the slowing down of the mundane mind or the thinking mind. And if you already have this training before, you realize it's very fast. You reach the silent, and you can be aware of this silent or stillness. Uh-huh. Then you let it stabilize until the mind enters the deep on its own. Then as you go through all these phases, your mind will experience the various mind state of a peaceful mind, of a calm mind, born of mindfulness, awareness, no more concentration, no more focusing, no more of trying to control the mind and doing all these things, no more doing. You don't have to fix the mind, go into one-pointedness or absorption, no need. Just relax, silent, and let it be. Then the mind, on its own, will go back to its original state of silence and stillness. That's what meditation is all about. Then from there, the silent mind will meditate. The silent mind will understand. Then everything that arises within the five aggregate of form and mind. The five aggregate are very simple. The physical body is one aspect, the form aggregate. Then the other aspect is the external sense object, which is the mental form that comes in through perception. That one you just silent, because our physical body have the senses, the five physical senses. Together with the mind, they become the sixth sense door. So, because we are a living being alive, with the consciousness that is active, that's why it can be aware of contact. So whenever the sense data is strong enough to imprint into our sense door, then it will cause the respective sense door consciousness to arise. Because the contact actually trigger off the conscious mind. So that consciousness that arises depending on which sense door, you will be able to be aware of it. If you are in this form of meditation, normally it's hearing. Hearing. So this hearing consciousness, like the bell or whatever, the aircon vibration, the fan's vibration, the vibration of nature, you can perceive them. They will be very clear to you. Then later on, when your mindfulness becomes very stable, very sensitive, you can be even has the ability to be aware of your own breathing, your own heartbeat, your own whatever vibration within your form and mind. Then you continue to silence, you can be very sensitive. Even your smell consciousness, you can feel them. Then if there is something within your taste bud, you can also feel them. Then whatever sankhara activity or thinking that arise, you will be aware. Like the Buddha mentioned under the foundation of mindfulness, is it? When you are aware of consciousness and its content, then you will be aware. whether your mind, your consciousness is peaceful or not peaceful, whether it's restless, agitated, or stir, react, you will be able to be aware. When you just have the ability to be aware, you don't give it more thought, energy, then this sankhara will slow down, slowly dissipate on its own. It cannot continue. It can only continue if you give it the mental energy, which is the thinking part. Means you try to do something. Don't. All of the doing is from the thought. You will make the mind active. And when the mundane mind is active, you cannot be in sati. You cannot be mindful. So don't do. Just relax, silent. Let the silent mind develop. Then just aware. Your meditation will progress if you do this. Okay, I'll let you develop your meditation on your own. Then after that, I will ring the bell when the 30 minutes is up. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner mindfulness, inner awareness for as long as you can. These are your trained mind state that can help you develop the mindfulness. You need to stabilize them all, so that you can be in this state in the midst of life most of the time. Otherwise, your daily mindfulness cannot come about. You have to maintain mindfulness throughout the day for as long as you can. Okay, now we can turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Ittipiso bhagava arahaṃ sama sambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisadam sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatam veditambu inohiti supatipanno bhagavato Kasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidam chatari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahoneyo pahoneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo Anuttaraṃ puññakhetaṃ lokasati. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Ok, clear aspect of Pajam. Vedang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax yourself, then maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with our next session. Next session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have. It's a Q&A session. You can ask me whatever you want to understand regarding the meditation or the Dhamma, and also how to apply what we have learned here, so that you can make use of it to understand clearly life and how to confront life with wisdom, understanding then how to act and how to become a true cultivator, to be worthy of the Buddha. Means a true Dhamma practitioner, a true Buddhist who has the embodiment of the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma. So this is something that you need to develop, so that this understanding can be within your nature. Then not only this life, in future, life after life, you have all this understanding because of your special condition, this life. Then you can aspire, invoke the vows, invoke the affirmation for all this understanding to be with your nature, life after life, whenever you have to come or you choose to come. Okay, you just put up your hand. Then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? Or if you got any question, you can ask too. If you want to report your meditation, of course that is better. At least you can confirm or counter check whether you have done it correctly or not. Like just now when I started, you need to ask yourself, what are you doing in the name of meditation? Do you really understand what is meditation? And you start by asking yourself, what am I doing? Then you have to check, what are you doing? Otherwise you will be gullible. You sit because people say you must sit. Sit to do what? Follow instruction. That is not meditation. Yes, I must check. What am I doing? What is meditation? The Buddha make it very clear. Without heedfulness, you cannot meditate. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. So all of meditation start with training the mind to be heedful, to be mindful. To be heedful, you must have two qualities of mind. That's why we define heedfulness for you. Heedfulness here is very clearly defined under Dhammapada verse 23. To be heedful, you have to have two aspects of mind. First, your mind has to be trained to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Have you done that? Is your mind ever mindful in the midst of life throughout the day? Then you use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. You combine these two. This one become heedfulness, apamana. That's why the Buddha said under verse 23, Appamada Vaga. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one. they will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. So this is very clear. Constantly meditative means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Ever mindful means you have already trained your mind to have this quality of stability of mindfulness. So you check. If you are not mindful, means your spiritual faculties are not there. Your mental hindrances are there. So you need to train, you train. Train the mind to be heedful, to be mindful, to have the spiritual faculties so that it can counter the mental hindrance. And to do this, you have to develop it through puja, through understanding who the Buddha is, how wonderful his teaching is all about. Then diligently cultivate the training of the mind to be mindful. Then you develop the stability of mindfulness through your daily mindfulness. That's what you have to do. So in the form of meditation, you check, is my spiritual faculty there? Are my spiritual faculties already established? Is my mind already mindful, aware that I can meditate? If you can't, means the mental hindrances are there. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you think a lot. You have this restlessness of mind, heedless thinking, wandering mind. And there is no stability of sati. It cannot be peaceful. It cannot be quiet. So when you understand that these are lacking, you have to train. You have to train. That's why I keep up with the training of the mind to have the spiritual faculty during your daily life when you are on your own cultivating. Then in the formal meditation, before the spiritual faculty comes in, you still want to develop the training of the mind. You can. You have to decondition your heedless thinking first, because without the spiritual faculty, this heedless thinking cannot stop unless you use some skillful means to reverse it. Means decondition that heedless thinking and make it peaceful. Means temporarily prevent the mental hindrance from reacting. And this is not permanent. This is just a temporary situation. So mind sweeping metta combined with metta is the best, because as you sweep your mind, you feel relaxed, you don't think. So you continuously feel and relax. This is a new conditioning. Then like the example I give you, the momentum of thinking is like the bell. There is a momentum. As you rotate it, it will have the momentum. Then it moves by itself without much strength. That's why habitual thinking, heedless thinking is like that. Because the momentum is there. Throughout the day, you have been heedless. Your mind reacts and stirs, creating mental hindrance. And this is the one that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. Sensual desire and ill will keep on arising. And when you have problem, your mind is restless, not peaceful. Then you have doubt, you lack faith, you lack virya, you lack sati. So because of all this, you start to understand this heedless thinking come about because I have been heedless for so long. The momentum is there. So what I need to do is I have to stop this momentum. The moment the bell stops, the momentum stops. Then to start the movement again, to start the activity to think again, it's not easy. You have to start over again. But let's say you use the mind sweeping method every time you feel relaxed. Feel relaxed. So this is a new way of retraining your mind to decondition the heedless thinking. Well, now you just feel and you relax. That's why there is no more thinking. So if you can do it for 5 to 10 minutes diligently, then you will become quiet, peaceful. But this is not stable. This is just only the quiet mind. Quiet for a while, and the thought will come back very fast. So after that, you radiate love and metta, which is positive mind state, positive energy. So from inner peace, you develop inner well-being. When there is inner well-being, there is joy, there is happiness, there is peace. So easier to get calm, easier to develop mindfulness. Then after that, you stabilize it through anapanasati or any skillful means, any object of meditation that can let you anchor your mind to any part of your body activity or kaya, to stabilize it until the breathing become very subtle, very still, until the mind quiet, enter sati. So when you experience pasati, which is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, that is your silent mind, that is your true mind, that is your meditative mind. So meditate until quiet, still. That's how you can have the stability of mind, because the mind enters sati. Then during that time, you become different. Even in your formal meditation, you become different. Your mind reacts differently. Because any slightest movement or activity is aware. Even the subtle breathing will come back to you. Everything that is already so quiet, so still, and so subtle, you are able to be mindful of it. And the mindfulness is because the mind has entered sati, is already aware. And this is what meditation is all about, the training of the mind. So if you need to train, train. Then after that, stabilize it, then just silent to meditate. That's what you should do. Then when your daily mindfulness stabilizes, when your mind already trained with the spiritual faculty, you are in a meditative state throughout the day. You are mindful and heedful throughout the day. That's how you become ever mindful. And when you are heedful, the Buddha said, you are destined for enlightenment. We are Dhammapada verse 21 confirmed. Mindfulness or heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't train and don't have this stability, the heedless are as if dead. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. And this is very clear. So without this stability of heedfulness or mindfulness, you don't stand a chance in meditation. Then forget about enlightenment, because whatever you do, you're wasting time. Just like what the six patriarchs told the monks. You have to start from basic, start from mind. Understand this mind, then you know what to do. Train this mind. And when this mind is been understood, cultivation become easy. The Noble Eightfold Path become easy. Where you will know which mind to use, which mind to train. And you will know how to develop the training so that the silent mind arise, the true mind arise. So all this are real training, real teaching, real understanding of meditation. Not the one that the people used to do. Go into energy field, one-pointedness, jhana, concentration, absorption. Try to force the mind to become peaceful, calm, concentrated. That is energy field. That is samatha meditation. Because they can't make the mind peaceful on its own. They cannot make the mind enter sati, the meditative state. They have to use suppression and control to force the thought not to think. So all these are concentration type of meditation. That's why they need object of meditation to focus. They are not developing mindfulness. That's why there is no practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness is when you understand without thought, you are already mindful, aware. So no need to practice. No need to focus. No need to concentrate. No need to develop all those absorptions. No need. So understanding is very important. And this is the part. Once you understand, after you have the ability to make your mind mindful, ever mindful, And when you can meditate, you remember the four support for awareness-based meditation. This four support is very important. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain awareness or sati, means the silent mind. And this silent mind is very easy to maintain. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. No need to try to be aware. No need to do anything. Well, the doing is by the thought. The thought will make you think again, active again. So sati cannot come about. You cannot be aware. Human being can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent in awareness within the moment, or you are lost in thought. If you are lost in thought, thinking, preoccupied with your thought process, you cannot be aware anymore. Aware is just aware, silent. Without the silent mind, you cannot be aware. And mindfulness is awareness before the perception, before the knowing, before the arising of thought. That's why to be mindful, you only need to be aware before the knowing. And that is what sati is all about. So this understanding is very important. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So you just relax and let the thought go back to its original state of stillness, silent. Then you will realize the true mind. Then you will come to understand you don't need to do anything. That silence, that stillness of mind is already there all the time. But because you deludedly grasp at the mundane mind, cling onto the thinking mind, the aggregates of mind, the emotion, the feeling, the thinking, give meaning to everything that you come to perceive. Then your memory, whatever you accumulate. So all this create thought. That's why thought is respond to memory. So when they arise, through your wrong view, you stir, you react, you grasp, you cling, you attach. That's how you become heedless. So all this, you will see them in the meditation. You will see them even in your daily mindfulness. Then you start to straighten your view because you start to understand that this leads to suffering. That's why the Buddha says, Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, is impermanent. Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, if you attach, cling, and grasp, you will suffer. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So there is no more such delusion. Then you realize everything is impermanent, leading to suffering, non-self, empty, not me. Then your mind starts to behave differently. Then it starts to relinquish. Disentangle is delusion. You will not hold, you will not grasp, you will not cling. When that happens, you don't need to do anything. Well, that wisdom free your mind. That's it. You don't need to practice anymore. Before the wisdom is there, people got to train, got to practice. But what is practice? You cannot practice to be wise. You cannot practice wisdom. You cannot practice to be mindful. But these are all wrong view, wrong understanding. You cannot practice letting go. You cannot practice non-attachment. You cannot practice to understand emptiness. Emptiness is a wisdom. You have to awaken to. You have to realize that. It's not for you to practice. No amount of practice can make you wise. Your practice is by the thought. Thought-based, limited to thought. You cannot go beyond thought. The meditation is not about practice. Practice is to train to do something. Repetitive. Then you practice. You train the mind, the mundane mind. But when it comes to wisdom, you have to silence your mind so that the silent mind awaken, realize, insight into phenomena without thought. That's why it's not easy for people to understand. But these are very precise understanding. Without this precise understanding, you cannot meditate correctly. You will become gullible. You will do all those type of meditation that people used to teach. And because there are so many Dhamma words there, you think, wow, a lot of Dhamma, a lot of teaching. But when you understand, you read clearly between the lines, you realize they don't have the understanding. A lot of the instructions are not correct, not appropriate. Most people don't understand what the true teaching is, the meditation is. So this is a brief summary of what meditation is all about. Then the four support are very useful. Just how I finish, relax into every mind state that arises, then maintain awareness. This I have to do it for as long as you can. That's why the stability of mindfulness has to be there. That's why I put the third support as 24 hours. Technically, 24 hours throughout the day, whether during your waking moment or during your sleeping moment, you have to be aware. But initially, just waking moment is really good enough. Then later on, when you have the skill, then the understanding and the stability of mindfulness, you can even go into your sleeping state. The mindfulness, the awareness will go in. Your body sleep, rest. You can hear your own snoring, everything. Then the subconscious release, your dream state, whatever, the mundane mind's activity. Your awareness within that nature can be aware of all this. And it's like when you wake up, it's like you didn't really sleep. You are very fresh. The same thought, the same mind, the awareness of it, it just, no lapse at all, no gaps at all. It just like, you just came out of it. And your face, everything is very fresh, like you never sleep. Yeah. You just rested there with awareness. But the body already recuperated, already rested. And you feel very good. You feel very clear, very fresh, like energized. And you are very calm. So after that, you just silence everything and stay at the heart area, relax, and let the nature develop the meditation. The last support is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation, no more thought involved. And that trust is the silent mind locating the gateway. Then, if you are mindful, relaxed, and patient enough, somehow you will locate it. And when you locate it, the form and mind will know. Because something will happen, and your awareness that is aware of that movement will understand. And you will not interfere or direct, you just let it be silent. And that one you have to relax very deep into it. Every mind state that arises, continue to relax. Whatever transformation that you experience through the movement of the, what they call, internal movement through your gateway. When the gateway has been located, your whatever external energy field, your yin and yang, or mind-based type of energy that you have developed through whatever practice or cultivation you might have, they will melt inside. And when they go through the gateway, it becomes pure energy. And this pure energy is already intelligent. It knows what to do. That's why that nature meditates by itself. It will go in and activate all the internal chakras and nadis, the internal movement. And this is the real opening of whatever chakra that needs to be opened. You go through the external using thought, it's tempering with your chakras. That one is all thought-based. And before you are enlightened, your thought always got delusion, wrong view, yin and yang. That's why that time you don't have the pure energy to activate it. So you go and interfere. That's why you will release a lot of this type of what they call earthly energy, yin-yang energy. That's why sometimes they get into trouble. those who do psychic field energy, they go and focus on the third eye, the tan tien, the heart, and even the whatever chakra or nadi. When they do that and they release a lot of thought energy, we call it the worldly energy. So all this, they will affect the cultivator. Then if you don't have wisdom, you will be affected because you will be tempted to use and you will attach to these states. Then sometimes the yin-yang imbalance, you don't know how to deal, it gives you a lot of problem. Then when these are released, if your coming is not good, you will have a lot of problem because the karmic condition will arise for you to use this psychic field or psychic energy in the wrong way. Then whatever wrong usage, it has its karmic repercussion and all these things. So those who are involved in all this psychic field or thought-based energy, samatha, you have to be very careful. You must have good teacher and good understanding. But no point. Well, whatever you do, it can make your mind very powerful, right? The thought can become very powerful, but it's still energy field, still within the field of thought. Finally, when your form and mind separate, they call death, you still have to go through rebirth. You cannot liberate because that type of meditation cannot give you wisdom, cannot free your mind, cannot liberate your mind. So that part, those who don't understand, they can get into trouble. So this is information for people who don't have the understanding. So also to protect you, so that you're not gullible when you hear all these type of practices. Yeah, it can be very alluring. It can really make you interested because the craving and desire for that psychic ability. Yeah, to a lot of these people who don't have the understanding of the Dhamma, they will become like drawn. Like they say, oh, I can read mind. I can have psychic ability. I can maybe levitate. And I can do a lot of psychic performance. I can become very powerful. So all this develop delusion in you and you start to crave for them and you start to will them. And you force your mind to go after them. Then when you attach to all this energy field are very strong. They develop into psychic field. And psychic field is intense energy. Then you will start to draw the non-human to you. You are non-human like people who play with energy. It's like 人在江湖, the swordsmanship. When they know that you are very good in swordsman, you start to show your swordsman skill and you start to impress people because you are good. Then more and more people will come and challenge you. That's exactly the same. The Mara also same. The Mara, they see you performing psychic. It's like 人在江湖. Oh, you're very good. Then they come. If this Mara cannot beat you, a better Mara will come. Until finally, you get into big trouble. Then not only Mara, sometimes the same species, both also got psychic, you want to outdo the other one. So, they will fight. They will become like enemy. So all this is leading to delusion. It's not going to help you because it doesn't develop wisdom. It doesn't give you understanding to free the mind, to liberate the mind, to understand clearly who are you, what are you, what's life all about, so that you can go beyond the law of karma, so that you can transcend life, you can free your mind from all this delusion, the phenomenal world. Okay, so this is a brief outline of what you need to know. Anybody want to report meditation? Now is the time, huh? Or you got any question that you want to ask, or any field of Dhamma that you want to understand, you can ask. Or you got anything to share, you can go ahead. Where is our mic? Oh, there. You put up your hand, Suyan will pass to you. But anything? Yeah, I get the mic. Yeah. Now they Pang more quiet, means he understand much better already. Yeah, on already. Yes.
Good evening, Bratio, and all Kalyanamitas. The purpose of meditation, as I understand from all the sessions that we have, is to develop wisdom and ultimately to be able to overcome all forms of suffering and to realize Nibbana. When you talk about the four supports, and the four support on trust, I have been contemplating quite a fair bit.
Yeah, you have to reflect, contemplate to understand.
Try to understand what you're trying to say.
The rationale behind.
Yes. When you mentioned that silent, aware. And
relax. Just first relax. One, relax. Relax. Then only this mind can go back to its original state of stillness. Understand? When you relax, means you don't interfere. You don't send in any more thought energy. Whatever happened, you relax into it. It's just like the energy that comes about through thinking, through concentration, focusing. If you relax into it, what happens? It will not develop further, because you don't give it any more thought energy.
Correct.
It's like you're very tired, you just relax. So then you feel very good, isn't it?
Everything is...
Because you don't stress yourself anymore, you don't exercise anymore, you just relax. Then you recuperate, understand or not?
That part I can understand.
That one is very important. Then after that, what happened? When the mind returned to its original state? Well, originally, before the stirring, before the reaction, before the activity of mind, it is stillness, isn't it? It's awareness, isn't it? That's why after that, you maintain awareness. You just aware. Because the original mind come back already. When you relax and silent, this thinking mind slow down. Then when this thinking mind slow down and cease, like what I mentioned here, the moment you are without thought, you already aware. Means your original mind state, the true mind come back to you. That's why that is awareness before the knowing. That's why you just relax and maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. But the doing is by the thought. The doing will make the thought active again. It will stir the mind again. Where you try to know. You want to do the meditation. And who is the doer? Who is the meditator? The thought. So what the thought do? The thought want to meditate. So they tell you note, you go and note. They tell you focus, you go and focus. They tell you anapanasati, you go and do anapanasati, rising, falling, and all those things. That doing is just initially to train the mind. Like the Buddha said, to develop mindfulness. After you have developed mindfulness, you're supposed to maintain awareness until this mindfulness becomes very stable. Until the object of meditation also you don't need. Until the mind enters sati. Understand? Not until your mindfulness can be so stable, your mind cannot enter sati. Not until your mind becomes tranquil, still, it cannot enter sati. That's why the first three support is to get your mind to enter the meditative state of sati, leading to samadhi. So when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are to develop the insight knowledges to awaken to the three universal characteristics. This is the sainthood way. The sainthood way, you have to do that. With the trained mind, you develop the four foundations of mindfulness, you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path leading to right view. So this sainthood way can be developed. But the fourth support is for the Bodhisattva way, the perfection. And this one, normal sainthood don't do. Normal cultivator don't do. They do the first three. That's it. Finish.
Okay, my question is this.
Yeah.
Why is it so important to locate the gateway?
If you want to go the Bodhisattva way, you have to locate this gateway. Where this gateway is like the gateway to your nature. Understand? The gateway to your nature is a very unique gateway, because this one, whatever energy that goes through will be neutralized and become pure energy. It filters by itself. You don't need to do anything. And it is only this pure energy that can activate the internal transformation and movement. This one you cannot understand, because this one very few cultivators can understand. Only those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way to a quite an extent only can understand. And normally people who reach this fourth support, most of them are 80 years old and beyond. Before that, they cannot even touch, unless you got very special pass. Yeah. I was lucky because I met my last guide, and also my vow from the past. That's why I cut short my training by at least 10 to 15 years. And the moment I located that gateway, I don't need him actually. My nature know what to do, know what the thing is. That's why after that, it goes through the transformation. Then I went back to my past cultivation very fast. That's why all this understanding come. Then this type of cultivation, because you seldom hear about it, or no book even write about it, that's why people don't understand. And this is the one that I didn't share earlier on, because very few people can understand. But last 3 years, a lot of things happened, especially the beginning of 2015. Where the condition arise for the Bodhisattva way to come out. So end of 2014, I saw the sign. People wrote to me, a lot of Kayanamita wrote to me, and suddenly inquire about this cultivation, the Bodhisattva way and all those things. Then the condition arise. Also our Taiwan trip and all those things. Then many things just manifest. You read the blue book, you will understand. Then also a lot of condition within nature. So this way has to surface. That's how that teaching come about. Then when the teaching come about, I started to teach the four support again. Then I seldom talk about the fourth support, only for those who already have the condition that can understand. I will share them, especially the Sunday class and the Tuesday class. So that is the reason why. Then lately, recently, because it has been almost 3 years plus, 2015, 15, 16, 17, 18, coming to 4 years already. So all these are the conditions behind. The gateway, you don't try to understand using the thought, because the thought cannot understand. You must have the stability of mindfulness until it is very, very stable. Then you will be able to be mindful anywhere where you locate your mind, not necessarily your heart area. Anywhere you put them, it becomes very clear. Everything becomes very clear. The reason why I say go to your heart is because the gateway is somewhere towards the left, slightly towards the left. And for different people, it varies. It's not always the same. And this gateway is not a hole or anything. It's just a location. And this one, you cannot locate it with the thought, with the mundane mind. You have to be completely silent without thought. That's why you're just aware and let the awareness detect. Then when you are relaxed, until so relaxed, the awareness will be able to detect. And when it detects, the form and mind will know, well, something will happen. All this external awareness energy or yin-yang energy that you have developed through your daily mindfulness, they will actually melt inside on its own. It's like the whole thing flow over. It just flow over, soothingly flow over. And as it happens, the form and mind will know. That being that goes through that thing, it will know. Because that movement, you cannot describe. It is so different. And it makes you like completely transform. Internally, I remember, you become like a perfect human being. Everything becomes so still. It's like a car, and I used to give the analogy. You tune the car until perfectly tuned, until the engine that is running got no sound. Means the pure energy transforms you internally until you are like a perfect human being. With all the pure, during that time, whatever disease or whatever problem you have, all healed at that time. Yeah. But this funny thing about the pure energy is, it's just like the analogy I just used to give. We all Chinese used to take this, what type of herbs is that? That will nourish your health. They say, bo yo, sek bo. So if you know that it helps, if you haven't taken before, first time you take a very effective one, isn't it? You feel your health improving, boosted, isn't it? But if you continue to take, what will happen? After a while, doesn't have much more effect already, understand? Then after you take the boyo with that thing, also you can get sick. Means the boyo also has its limitation already, you understand? Where you already poor already, also you cannot understand. That this body goes the way of nature. So I also realized after that pure energy state, that few years, I was like a perfect human being. You feel so good now. You are like in perfect health now. Everything is so different now. And your consciousness are all very different. Especially once you go through this gateway, within no more than 1 year, your mundane mind will collapse. Definitely collapse. Your mind, within, 6 to 9 months, it just collapsed. Then everything become like very different. And I also doesn't know what all this is all about. Well, it happened to my disformed mind, this segmented life for the first time. But because of my past, I can understand all the movement. And I can relate to it. And I know what this thing is, even though I never learned this life. But you have to go through all this in order to understand what I try to describe to you. Otherwise, you cannot. It's just like things that you have not gone through, like your working life. When you are a new graduate, you come out, your senior tell you, no, this is not the right way to do. You have to anticipate all this because they have the experience they've gone through. Otherwise, you can make this type of mistake and all this. But you being a fresh graduate, you don't know what he's trying to tell you. Why so complicated? Do the simple one. Yeah, no. You do like that, you can get into trouble. There are a lot of things you cannot see. you cannot understand. Like maintenance problem, ease of maintenance and future, whatever related thing. Then sometimes you don't do it correctly in the first instance. Later on, you will get yourself into trouble. Because what you do is like not a complete, not a complete viable solution. It's like temporary measure, stopgap measure. It's just like you do things without the clear totality or understanding. You like firefighting. Got problem? Do something. Got problem? Do something. So this one will cause you more problem later on because things will start to break down. But you can see the overall, you can learn from other people. It's just like civilization in China. After China decided to come out from communism during the 80s, and they tried to develop the best democratic policy for the nation to recover, to become what they call successful again. So what they do is they analyze all of the world democracy and system that people use, and they take the best of everything from each and every of these, they combine them. Then they avoid the mistake. That's why they open up in stages. So all the city, the mayor that go through that has a problem, they learn, then the next city that come out, they don't have to go through all those problems, understand not? Like problems of recycling, pollution and all those things, or mistake of lack of master planning for the infrastructure. Then you start to build, then only later on you realize a lot of the infrastructure already dead inside there because no master planning. You don't have the vision to see the big picture. Then now you want to do, it's very costly because the building is already there. There's some of the old building you have to preserve. You are not ready for it. Then some of this locality, the geology may have problem. So a lot of things you have to plan. So when you have this understanding, you can avoid the mistake of the previous civilization or the previous city that went through. That's why now you see the later development of the modern city in China, even the second tier city, the suburban, all those things, they are coming out very fast. And they are evolving very fast. So cultivation, in a similar way, is the same. When you understand, then the person who has gone through can tell you, don't waste your time, like Hui Ning say, don't go and do thought-based meditation. This will never awaken you. It will keep you within the field of thought, energy field, where you're supposed to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond mind. And you start with the wrong instrument, you cannot break free. That's why thought-based meditation stuck. A lot of people stuck, even today. A lot of people lack understanding. They cannot understand the true teaching of the Buddha. They don't know what sati is, heedfulness is. They cannot develop the wisdom, the insight, the direct seeing. And they don't even know that you have two minds, the silent mind and the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the dependent originating mind, conditioned arising mind. They don't know. The teaching are all there. They only know about dependent origination, dwelling, but they don't know the detail of it. And they don't know that there are two mind states, the true mind and the mundane mind. All this they don't know. They only heard of the word true nature, self nature, oneness nature, source, nibbana, all those things. But these are words. You don't go through the transformation, the awakening, you cannot understand all these words. They got no meaning. So, coming back to your question, which is very good, all this you have to go through to understand. So what I'm trying to share with you is before you understand, don't try to think about it, don't try to understand because the thought cannot understand. It's just like last time the dependent origination, the telling is so fast, it's already suffering, craving, suffering. you can't even have that chance to see the link where your mindfulness is not stable. When your mindfulness is stable, you can be there at the moment of contact. It doesn't move. Then when you release it, how? The moment of contact arises consciousness. Not only upon contact feeling arise, like the physics experiment. What happened? When you switch it on, what happened? The light bulb? What happened to the light bulb when you press the contact? It lights up, is there? And what is that? Consciousness is there. It becomes conscious, is there? That's why at the contact of the eye, yeah, with the sense data, the seeing consciousness arises, understand or not? And within the content of consciousness, the seven universes simultaneously arise. That's why upon contact, feeling also arise. Contact also arise. Perception also arise. Manasikara also arise. All these things simultaneously, they come out. Then the content of consciousness and its consciousness, they simultaneously arise. Then you make that reaction of mind through your stirring because of avijja. They say avijja paccaya sankara, the first link come back again. Because of ignorance, you go and think, you go and stir your mind, understand? You go and react. You can't understand. One thing to know, you think. Then all this is what is happening inside there. But you cannot see because you don't have mindfulness. But when you have mindfulness, the moment of stirring, the moment of reaction, the moment of activity of mind, your awareness is with it. And the wisdom will stop you from being deluded again, from arising all those deluded mental state again. It cannot, because the mind understands. The moment you understand, it does not cling, it does not drop, it does not give meaning. That's why the phenomenal world loses its power. Understand? Because it saw clearly, impermanent, anicca. Then because of ignorance, avijja, that's why this sankara arises. And sankara, not only anicca, it leads to dukkha. That's why feeling arises. You cannot stop a feeling. You cannot cut. Why? Because you stir your mind through ignorance. That's why craving arises, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Then you realize not only craving, straight away the grasping is there because the desire is so strong. Then you become that. Then it takes birth. That's why you say very fast, it comes out already. But when you have mindfulness, the stability, the awareness, every stage of dependent origination is so clear and it's multidimensional, not single dimensional. And you see them arising simultaneously. But your mindfulness and awareness can be with the moment at any one time. And all this movement is aware. That's why if you have not had this stability of mindfulness, if you have not gone through this type of training, you can only understand through knowledge, theory. But when you hear it, reflect, contemplate, and silent, and don't try to know, then you just do. Then one day when your mindfulness stabilizes, when you start to see this, then you can relate to what I try to share with you. Then you understand, you're like, yeah, true. The mind is so beautiful. Like now the silent mind is very easy for most of you. You just relax silent. You can experience that peace straight away. And this is not theory anymore. You don't have to focus like last time. No, don't have to note rising, falling, focusing, concentration. No need. Relax, silent. You experience the peace, the calmness. Yeah, that is your natural state. When thinking stops, the silent mind will arise. Yeah, without thought, your true mind is there. Your true mind is clouded by your thinking, by your activity, by your aggregates of mind, by your emotion, by your thought process. So all this, through the meditative silence, you will start to understand. Then you realize what the Buddha said, yeah, these are all dependent originating, condition arising. Before there is emotion, before there is anger, before the stirring, the nature was peaceful. That's not all. All these were not there. Then how did they arise? Because this mind do all these funny things through avijja. You saw it. You understand. Then you straighten your view. Then you learn how to see things as they are so that you don't stir again, don't react again, don't become emotional again, don't become foolish again. Then you can contemplate, reflect, and stabilize the understanding. Say, yeah, thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. When I understand, I can accept that reality. And most of it is linked to the nature's law, mainly karma. Then whatever happened, I can accept. In the past, this form and mind must have, through delusion, done this to people. That's why now got condition, you reap what you sow, it hit back. Then you are at peace. You don't get angry anymore. You don't stir your mind anymore. You don't get agitated anymore. You can come to terms with whatever that happened, the reality of that moment. Or then you realize, this is peace. This is the non-reacting mind. This is the mind that has understanding and wisdom. Having the understanding to see things as they are, and to come to terms with the reality of the moment. We are within the moment, all the conditions are already there. And when the condition is like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Yeah, this is nature. Nature's law. This is the reality. True. Suchness. That's why then you realize, actually it's this delusion that wants to have things. Wants to react, stir, and become emotional, angry. Everything also it wants to entangle itself and create through delusion to make others and themselves miserable. So when you saw through all this, you realize this is not real. This is not me. This is dependent originating. It's chemically conditioned out for my nature to come to use it. And this nature, when connected to it, through the direct seeing, it developed the wisdom and the understanding, and this wisdom connected to it, this form of mind become enlightened or wise. But this form of mind is impermanent, not you, non-self. That's why don't be deceived by it. Don't go and think you are the enlightened being. No, that is the vehicle and the tool for you to come, to develop the meditative understanding so that the wisdom arise, connected to it, it doesn't suffer anymore. That is just one segment of your life. So when you understand all this, you know how to live life. Your mind becomes different. And this is the meditation part that people don't understand. They think they enlightened. They think after that they enlightened, they free already, they got no more problem. That is not you. That is just the form of mind. And the form of mind is just one segment. And you still carry that delusion, you cannot awaken. That is your knowledge. You think you are enlightened. You are far from the awakening and the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about. What the Buddha meant. That's why the Buddha said you must have right view with regards to the nature's law, the spiritual law that governs life and existence. That's why his teaching is Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Everything, whether the condition or the unconditioned, they are also non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. So you cannot grasp and cling. You cannot think that the true mind is you. You cannot think that that oneness is you. There is no such thing. That's why when you start to develop those understanding, wisdom through the awakening and the direct seeing, that wisdom that arises is so different. So different. It is so potent. And it really liberates the whole understanding. And this might transcend duality, transcend the mundane condition arising all. That's why it see clearly. The unconditioned it goes through, it realizes through emptiness. Then it can come back through the form and mind with the wisdom connected to live life. When you understand the wisdom from both sides, then you can come back to the mundane world, the condition arising or to leave the noble life. That's why that is the third phase of Dhamma Pativeda. You get to live the life of an enlightened being. Yeah. You reap the reward of your hard work, your cultivation, and all those things. Then this form of mind that is awakened with the wisdom connected no longer suffer. But this one is also impermanent. It has its lifespan. That consciousness and the form, they will still break up. It was still separate. It has its limit because it goes the way of nature. This one is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. Whereas the eternal nature never dies. And that one is also not you. And that wisdom that you awaken to through this form of mind, this life, doesn't continue and follow you. The moment the form of mind ceases, that wisdom also goes with it. There's every life you come, there's a mental life, you have to connect back again. You have to develop the wisdom again. But you will have a spiritual nature, karmic nature, that register all this cultivation that you have developed. So like the karmic nature, you immediately born, every life, every segment of life, you will inherit. But the spiritual nature, not so easy. You will never start to inherit until you meditate and connect. If you cannot develop the initial sainthood awakening, you cannot inherit your spiritual nature. That's why the 6 years when the Buddha was cultivating, he was still like an ordinary being until that night underneath the Bodhi tree when he connect. Then he inherit his spiritual nature, his understanding, everything. That's why he became a Sammasambuddha after that. Yeah. But his karmic nature was very powerful. That's why all these were conditioned, ready for him. Yeah. So this understanding is something that the individual need to go through, the cultivator need to go through. So as far as the trust and the Bodhisattva way, you don't worry about it. You just have a preliminary understanding enough. But when your condition is there, when you are ready, your insight will know. Your insight will listen attentively because it knows this is beautiful, this is what your nature has been looking for. Yeah. But not everybody has that type of path. Yeah. But most of you have. The only thing is, before you really connect, you may not know. That's why some of the Kalyamita who connect over the last 3-4 years, now only they start to understand. Before that, they also, like most of you, even Brother Song, I remember, he used to tell me, "See, Brother, how come I so char? I've been following you for so long." People come within a few months, they progress so far, they learn so far, they understand so far. I say, no. It's your condition. When your condition is not there, things cannot unfold, cannot happen. Because you have your karmic thing from the past, the obstruction and all those things, and you don't have the faith, the sincerity, and you don't do enough of the repentance. Then later on, he starts to do, then the condition arrives there, he connect. Then the more he connect, very funny, he start to understand my teaching. All this come from the silent mind. Then he start to understand my sharing, my audio file, my transcript, everything. Then he read the Heart Sutta, the Dhamma Sutta. On his own, he understand. How come like that? Before he connect, he cannot understand. He told me, he read my transcript, the Dependent Origination Book, 12 link, the transcript 205, ready on. He said he read it, don't know, 3 times or 6 times, he cannot understand. But after he connect, after he realized the silent mind, he read again, he immediately understand. Because this one, the teaching, come from the silent mind. Not until you connect back to the silent mind. Like Hui Ning say, he take you direct to the silent mind, the true mind, so that you don't have to go through the thought-based meditation. You don't have to waste time on the thought-based meditation, which people do through practice, through all the noting, focusing, concentration, all these are wasting time, because you do things without understanding, you're wasting time. Like Bodhidharma, that video clip that I sent out, is a very good example. Because the monk and the abbot, four of them went in, they say they are going to have 3 days, 3 nights of silent meditation. Means you're not supposed to speak. The person who speaks will be disqualified. Then Bodhidharma happened to be there. He said, I also want to join in. So he went in. So they meditate until middle of the night. Then there's this wind, this rain, this howling sound and all those things. Then you know the ancient China, the window, when the wind blows, there is sound and all those things. Then suddenly the oil lamp got blown off. So one of the monks panicked. He said, the oil lamp is gone. And what are those funny sounds? Then the other monk said, you are disqualified. You talk. Then the third monk said, luckily I didn't talk. He also disqualified. Then the abbot said, I'm the only one that didn't talk. He also talked. Then Bodhidharma used the glassware, this the one that closed the tea on. He rubbed it against the table, create the sound. Then the abbot and the Sri Monk look at him. What are you doing? He asked back. What are you doing? Bodhidharma asked back. They say, we are meditating to realize Buddha. He said, I'm polishing the glassware to make it into a mirror. They laugh. They say, you must be crazy. This is a glassware. Glassware means cannot become mirror. You know what Bodhidharma tell them? If glassware cannot become mirror, then by sitting there like what you do, you can become Buddha. No? He asked back the same question. No? Means you are doing the foolish thing. He said, you're wasting your time. What you are doing will not benefit you. Then the abbot starts to respect him. No? Then how can we realize Buddha? 怎样才能够成佛? Means how should we cultivate or meditate to develop the ability to become enlightened, to awaken? And you know what Bodhidharma tell them? He said, the Buddha does not stick onto any particular form or posture. Understand? It's not the posture that makes him the Buddha, he said. It's not how you sit, how you walk. It's not what you do. The Buddha is the embodiment of his wisdom and perfection. And that is his awakening, his cultivation, his inheritance. You cannot just gullibly follow what he do, thinking that by doing that you can become Buddha. So he said, the Dhamma is not in the form, he said. The Dhamma is at the mind. You understand? So he said, in order to cultivate, you have to start from basic. And this monk and the abbot asked him, what do you mean by start from basic? We are already very senior monk, understand? One of them is the abbot. You mean you ask us to go back to basic? Start all over again? Bodhidharma said, you know what is basic or not? If this simple thing, like the basic understanding of who you are, what you are, and what your mind is, also you don't know, and you want to start meditation, and you say you are doing meditation, you are wasting your time. What you have been doing is superficial training, he said. You have not gone in at all. You are doing what people tell you. You think you must sit to meditate to become enlightened. That's why everybody sick. Sit. Then like the Zen analogy, if sitting can make you enlightened, all the frog would have become enlightened. Because the frog always sit in the sana. They never have other posture. They only got the two legs like that, sit. It's not the sitting. That's why he said you have to start from basic. So one of the monk asked, basic means what? He said basic means you must understand who you are, what you are, and what is this mind all about. You know you have a mind, you have a physical body. That is what you think you are. But do you really know what is this mind? Starting from basic means starting from the understanding of this mind. He said, mind, of course in the text they didn't explain this like what I explained. Mind, you have to understand there are two aspects to mind. This one they didn't explain. You have a mundane mind, dependent originating thinking mind. Then you have another mind which is the true mind, the silent mind. You have to understand this. Then you have to understand that the mundane mind is the condition arising mind, creation. That's why the Buddha say mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arrives, everything arises. Means all of your good and evil arise from this mundane mind to delusion. When you don't have wisdom, all of your action with delusion will have the delusion behind. That's why he said, this is basic understanding. Then he quoted the Diamond Sutta, he said, everything, all Dhamma is it, arise from the self nature, means your true mind, your true nature. From here, everything arise. Sun, earth, means wholesome and wholesome, all also arise from this mundane mind. If this basic also you don't understand, forget about meditation. You're wasting your time. Because when you understand that there is a mundane mind that creates all this, then you will know how to meditate, to relax, silent, aware, and realize the true mind. That's why Hui Ning take you direct to the true mind. Then from there, you can meditate. That's why the Buddha also say, heedfulness, awareness, sati. Otherwise, you cannot meditate. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. He said, if this also you don't understand, what are you doing? In the name of meditation, you are wasting your time. Then all the monks got a shock, stunned. We are wasting our time. That's why after that they respect the Bodhidharma and chase after him and ask him to really train them. And Bodhidharma taught them all this. That's why they can progress. And this is really what the world is doing. Most of them you go and ask, what are they doing in the name of meditation? Vipassana, they tell you. Yeah. I do vipassana. You think vipassana is something you can do, you can practice? Vi means inside. Oh, sorry, vi is the three characteristics. Passana is to insight into the three characteristics. It's not a practice, understand? No? Vipassana cannot be practiced. Vipassana is an insight into the three universal characteristics. To insight into it, you have to awaken to it through the direct see, the silent mind. It's not through a practice. Practice is mechanical, monotonous, noting, doing the same thing, repetitive. That is not meditation. That is a series of instruction to do things. You understand? Like, note this, note that, focus on this, focus on that, mindful of this, mindful of that. This is doing. This is practice. And this is not meditation. The real meditation is understanding. That's how you cultivate what? Noble Eightfold Path. From right view, you start. Right view means the basic understanding of mind. That's a citta niyama. That the law of karma. Means all of mental activity or volition, mental intention, they condition karma, means good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, they come from this mind. If you don't have right view, you will lead to wrong thought. Then, when your thought is wrong, it will condition wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong livelihood. The whole Noble Eightfold Path collapse. That's why you have to start with right view, right understanding. And when you understand the mind, you will know how to start. You take care of mind. Take care of mind means what? You must develop right view. That's why after that you look at law of karma. If according to the Buddha, we are born all karma, head all karma condition and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma, what must we do? We must take care of karma. Then we inquire, how do we take care of karma? What did the Buddha teach us, advise us? The Buddha's advice is avoid all evil. Do good. Purify the mind. Oh yeah, if I do this, I take care of karma, isn't it? I reap what I sow. If I avoid all evil, I got no evil friction of the evil action, speech and thought. So this is how you start. Then how do I avoid all evil? The Buddha said, keep precept. And why keep precept? Your precept is very important, the Buddha. Precept is the source of peacefulness of mind. Precept is the source of joy, happiness of mind. Precept is the source of spiritual wealth. That's why silena sukantinyanti, silena boga sampadan, silena nibuntinyanti. So all this is very important. Then you realize the importance of sila. I have to train my mind to be mindful, to be aware, and I have to understand what constitutes evil so that I can take care of my precepts, my karma. Otherwise, I don't even know that I have violated my karma. That's why you have to train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful, to understand what constitutes evil, and to see the mental intention clearly. If there is any of these three evil roots that will make you evil, your mundane mind evil, you have to be aware. And you have to abandon it through the four right effort. Prevent it from arising. Then cultivate the wholesome, right speech, right action, right. This is how Noble Eightfold Path comes into play. And this is how your cultivation starts. If basic mind also you don't understand, you say you are meditating, you are wasting your time. Your meditation is not just sitting. Sitting will not make you enlightened, I tell you. The posture doesn't make you wise. You have to go to the mind. You have to understand the mind. You have to be mindful of the mind's movement to see the delusion behind, to see the wrong view that condition you to stir and react and make you the form and mind like that. Then when you understand all this, you straighten your view, then this form and mind is no longer deluded. That's why it becomes different. That's why it awakens. Then without this delusion, it will not do the same old foolish thing. That's why it will transcend duality. It will understand the universal characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering, non-self, empty. Then it will not grasp, it will not cling, it will not hold, it will not be deceived by anything that the phenomenal world is trying to create to deceive them. And this is what meditation is all about. This is what the Dhamma is all about. So when you understand all this, then you realize what the world is doing is completely the opposite. The Bodhidharma example is the best. You go to every temple, what they tell you? Sit, anasana. Do walking. Do sitting. One day you will become enlightened. Or practice vipassana. That is not the training. The basic understanding of the basic Dhamma also not there. What constitutes evil also not explained. What is mindfulness also not explained. The two types of mind also you don't understand. The meaning of the Dhammapada words and two. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. If you were to act, speak and think with a deluded mind, unwholesome mind, evil mind, suffering will follow you, just like the wheel that follows the hood of the cart. So all this, when you listen, if you have the understanding, you realize you have to take care of mind. Where you act, speak, and think with an evil mind, unwholesome mind, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow you, your life. Do you want that to happen? Do you? If you don't want, you better be heedful and train your mind so that you act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, pure mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, following the Mahabharata verse 2, so that happiness will follow you, just like the shadow that never leaves you. This is cultivation. That's why without heedfulness, you cannot start your cultivation. That's why you have to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a pure mind, free of the evil root. Means you must understand what constitutes the evil roots, what makes you evil. So all these are not thought. Straight away go into vipassana. Straight away talk about jhana, 16 stages of insight, and all those things. And just meditate. Focus, concentrate. Or chant. If you do all this without understanding, without going back to basic understanding of the essential Dhamma, the basic Dhamma, you cannot free. Well, all the teaching is in the basic Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. And they are all within the Four Noble Truth. They are just spin-off from the Four Noble Truth. Yeah. So the whole of the teaching, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truth. And from the spin-off is the essential Dhamma. That's why the right view alone, with regards to law of karma, law of mind, and law of Dhamma, all the teachings are there. Karma niyama, citta niyama. Citta niyama is paticca samuppada, dwelling. Yeah? Karma niyama is the moral causation, the law of karma. Then Dhamma niyama is all of the Dhamma, the Four Noble Truth. From the Four Noble Truth, you have your four foundations of mindfulness, dependent origin. Everything is there, the Four Noble Truth, everything is there. The seven factors of enlightenment, five spiritual faculties, five mental, they are all inside the Four Noble Truth. The Noble Truth of Dukkha, the cause of arising of Dukkha, cessation of Dukkha, and the path that leads to the cessation, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then all these are very clear. And his teaching is very clearly laid out. But living being now, very few have the understanding to interpret the Buddha's teaching. They only focus on the words, knowledge, using the thought. And they try to use the thought, the knowledge, to interpret the teaching, then come out with method and technique and teaching, which is all thought-based. That's why very difficult to free, very difficult to have good result. Yeah. You can go and check yourself, everything that these people are doing. Yeah. Of course, when you first go there, before you understand all this and what I explained, you will think that they have the teaching, because a lot of Dhamma words are there. A lot of Dhamma are there, even their books. But the moment you understand all this, you read, a lot of the things are not in accordance, not what you think anymore. Because Dhamma become very precise. Then you realize all these are words. And people don't have the understanding. That's why they can't even summarize to you what the whole teaching is all about, what the whole cultivation is all about, what sati is all about. What the basic understanding of mind is all about, the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. Even the detail of the five aggregate, they can't. They can't even explain the dependent origination, the dwelling properly. If you can't even understand the theory part, then how can you meditate to realize them? That's why you have to realize them, then only you can understand. It's not the other way. The other way is through knowledge. You read, then you think you understand, you look for Dhamma. No, it's the silent. You can read, no problem. Contemplate, reflect, and have an understanding. Knowledge, no problem. But don't use that knowledge to go and search. Yeah, that is thought based. Understand already, start from basic. What the Buddha say? I need to understand this. So when I understand, I know how to cultivate. If I don't understand, I don't know how to cultivate. Basically, it's just like that. So I don't become gullible. I don't just follow instruction and do without understanding. Means I understand. First thing, I must develop what? Heedfulness. Like Brother Pang say, all meditation lead to enlightenment. Wisdom. What I am trying to realize is wisdom. Not all the meditative experience, understand? Not all the fantastic mind state. Not all the doing. Because without wisdom, this mind cannot awaken. And to have wisdom, what did the Buddha say? You must have heedfulness. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So I start from there. What is heedfulness? Oh, Dhammapada verse 23 say, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, that is heedfulness. But this one realized the supreme bond-free enlightenment, Nibbana. This is what heedfulness is. I check. Am I ever mindful? Am I constantly meditative? If don't have, let's start from there. To be ever mindful, I must train my mind to be mindful first. To have that, I must have the spiritual faculty. With the spiritual faculty from faith, sadha virya, I will develop sati. Your virya will move the energy, the spiritual zeal to cultivate. Sati will come. Then when sati is stabilized, it becomes samadhi. The mind is collected and unwavering. Then sati samadhi can see things as they are and awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self, entity. And then from there, basic wisdom arise, sainthood way arise. Then from the five spiritual faculty, the mind can be in sati. And when this one stabilizes, it becomes ever mindful. And then you can use that ever mindful state in the midst of life to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And within Noble Eightfold Path is the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why all these cultivations start. Then you cultivate right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then later on with the wisdom, prevent them from arising. Then the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Then the right effort to refine upon and perfect them. That's why all the virtue can be perfected. Then only your mind become different. Then when you are already very noble in the way you arise your thought, you communicate with people through your action and speech, you have the what they call quality of an enlightened being, a noble being. Noble being means you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path factor, they will manifest in you. Then only you can become enlightened being as per the Buddha's definition. Aryas means noble ones. Noble ones are very noble in all aspects of their life understanding, which is having the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Without that, you cannot become noble ones. You cannot be the enlightened being that the Buddha is talking about. Even if your meditation is fantastic with the psychic and all those things, you experience fantastic meditative state, so what? Do you have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path? Can you live life? Is your form and mind really what you think it is? All this understanding is so different from what people do. So with this, I think, I hope you understand more clearly. Then also 10:30 already. We better end. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So all this is like good revision. As you go through, it's like a revision. So that this understanding go deep into your nature, your understanding. Then when you really have the understanding yourself, you make the affirmation or the aditana or aspiration to have this right view and right understanding life after life. Whenever you have to come, or you choose to come, whether you come through the normal way through rebirth consciousness, or if you already set the bodhisattva way, you can choose to come. You can vow for causes and conditions to arise. Where your four basic vow, the bodhisattva vow, will take you along, and they will create condition for you to come. But every time your form and mind come, whether got sansana or not, this right view, this understanding is there. That's how you become different. That's how you will progress very fast after that. Otherwise, after this window is closed, when the sansana is no more, if you don't have all this vow, you don't stand a chance, I tell you. You go back to square one very fast. Then, for many aeons in between, before the next sasana, don't know where you go, your form and mind go. Then if you are lucky, because this sasana you develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merit, then the next sasana you got conditioned to be born, because you make a lot of kayanamita, affinity and all those things, that you make your own aspiration, imena, punyang, kamina and all those things. So you may come, like this life. I think this like a lot of you come this way. But after that, I realize a lot of you all go missing for very long. Then you have to wait for the next window. And I tell you, it's very long. But if you have this right view, you make the aspiration and the vow to have them, so that even without the sasana, your form and mind, the bodhi seed that is planted through the vow, it will manifest. You will understand all these things. You will recall all these things. Then the condition will fall into place. And then, from now to the next sasana, you progress very fast. You become so beautiful. Then the next sasana, your nature is so different. Maybe better than my this nature. You never know, I tell you. Very fast. That's why you have to understand what is possible. Yeah. And this is the precise reason why Maitreya 208 came with the request. Because this teaching is not available in this world, this civilization. Okay, we better end. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. And we will dedicate all these merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasatta ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana ita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. And at the same time, we would like to delegate these merits for causes and conditions for Sister Joyce. She came with her husband to see me why today and take us for lunch. He is going through an operation this next Tuesday. So we would like to delegate these merits and wholesomeness for causes and conditions for her to go through the operation successfully and peacefully so that she may recover fast. I understand nothing serious. It's lady's problem. I think like what Mi Feng went through last time. I don't know. It seems to remove the whole thing, including the uterus, everything. But don't go and disturb her. She is all in good mind state. She just want to let me know so that as Kaya Mita, we can do what we can. So, radiate love and metta. And it shouldn't be any problem. The only thing is because at her age, some of these specialists and doctors, they tell them different type of opinion. But I say, you don't worry. Have faith in yourself, have faith in the doctor. Then all these are very common as far as I know. My sister-in-law also went through. Many people went through. So, body is just a body. It goes the way of nature. So when you don't have fear, don't have worry, don't have anxiety, your mind state are stable, your vibration are very good, your immune system, and she's still young, no problem. So I told her, don't worry. She also knew. That's why she was very calm, and she take it very well. But please don't call her. Because she at first don't want people to know, but because today she intend to let me know, was because next Tuesday is the Tuesday class. Then today already Thursday, then weekend we somehow have to go somewhere. So all these are conditions. And it just fall into place. Then when we discuss this thing, I advise her because I say I have heard many people gone through the operation. They all successful, no problem. There are some cases where that thing has already become cancerous and all those things. Then that one maybe there is complication, but not likely because with her mind state, she don't have problem. She happy go lucky. Those who have stress, worry, negative mind state, chances are it's possible to have all those mutation and all those things. Otherwise, it's not likely. So anyway, this is just for you all. So we rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So on your own, you can read the metta to her. Then remember, Tuesday afternoon is the operation. So we will also do the Tuesday class, Invoke Power Merits. Then on my own also, I will help her in whatever way. Invoke Power Merits, her own merits too. Then you all can radiate love and metta because of Kayamita affinity. Joyce did so much wholesomeness. Then she need to rest. You rest how long last time before? The doctor told her 6 weeks. About that. Yeah, it's a healing. Healing. Yeah, still can feel it. That's why I told her, you need to talk to you, call you. But she already did her homework, I think. She checked with a few doctors. Total 4 doctors, I think. They have some opinion. Then she feel very comfortable with the last one. So the last one will do it for her. Yeah, it's very safe. Very safe. Very safe. Yeah. The recovery, the doctor say don't drive for 6 weeks. Don't drive. Because to avoid unnecessary damage to that part. Food, yeah, sadhu. Then I see how it goes. Tuesday, maybe before the class, if got time, I may drop by. I see how. I had to check where is the room. It's better to give her a visit. Like last time, I remember Alicia also said before the operation, I went to see her. And she was full of faith after that. Then she went in and the whole operation come out beautiful. Nothing happened. But don't worry, as Kaya Mita, you all have your merits, your wholesomeness. Should read it, metta and love. He said, at first he said, not nice to trouble Kaya Mita. I said, no, this is the condition that you have. That's why you are one of the Kayanamitas, and there is a lot of wholesomeness behind the Kayanamita relationship, and the Kayanamita force is very strong, very powerful. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you can feel. Even in the hospital, you can feel. Susan also felt one. Susan. Oh. Yes. And not only that, the positive mind state, the vibration that goes into nature is very powerful. Then some, they know how to invoke power of merit, your merit, not other people's merit. That's why when Sui An told me, you can't go for that trip and you are in there and you have to go through all those things. And I immediately did the thing already. Then after that, before that, I sent something wrong. That's why I told Sui An, I said, you will be okay, don't worry. Then the next day, you are discharged. Yeah, it's amazing. Because the night before, he told me you were critical. Yeah, because you can't go on the flight. And admitted. Then when he texted me, he called me, I say, don't worry, I know what to do. Then after that, I felt something, then I knew you will recover. That's why I told Sia, I said, you will come out, you no problem, I said, recover. Yeah. So a lot of these things is the affinity, the condition, because I invoke your power of merits, which is very powerful. Well, these are your wholesomeness over the years of cultivation, practice, and what you and Suyan have contributed towards the Thursday class, Dhamma activity, and all those things. And this Thursday class has been very long, you know. And not only that, they all also help out HJBA and build it up until now. And like Suyan and Mifong said, ever since the day they get involved with Dhamma, their life improved, changed, become very different. You are not in the conscious mind state to do anything. So because of that, it's mainly karmic thing already after that, the affinity, the karma, I think. Because this one, if you are a cultivator, you will know, you will feel it. Because in the early day, I told you all about Antitan. Antitan, same. Because she did a lot of wholesomeness, and she liked to do katina. So she was in the hospital. Actually, the thought already, not herself already. Then people came back and say, in the hospital when they visit her, you are talking about Katina here, Katina there. He cannot recognize anybody already. Then, but he, like, on her own, talking with joy, where he go for Katina and all those things. Then they all know bad already. So they came and did a Bohi Puja in Brickfield. I was there. And that day, because 1989 already, I remember that year, I already had the understanding. So I related, I shared. Then I felt something very strong. No? Then I knew she would recover. And immediately the next day, they say, he came back normal consciousness, then later on discharge. Because very powerful that day. Very powerful. And I can feel it. So strong. Because a lot of people did it. Really did it. Well, they know him, her, and the husband also. Uncle Tan Teck Beng and the son there. So, Antitan has done so much there, especially helped Ramayana, and they got this Buddhist group that are together doing a lot of charity. So, these are the wholesomeness that will come useful, handy, when you have it. But whatever it is, body is still a body, always remember. There is a limit to what it can survive, how long he can survive and all those things. So when you understand, then we will know what to do. Okay, very good. Sadhu. Thank you so much. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, sorry. 10:45 plus already.
express our heartfelt gratitude and respect to Brazil and Mrs. Steele for coming all the way to share the Buddha Dharma with us by saying Sadhu three times.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Sadhu to Mr.
Elsie
for fetching Brazil and Mrs. Steele.